Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Hey, I'm Kondo. I'm one of the pastors here at Mission Point. Again, Kirsten Criswell is a mission coordinator here. And welcome to Orphan Sunday. Kirsten said this at the top of the service, and some of you might have joined us since then. This is one of the most significant Sundays on our calendar as a church. We join hundreds of other churches around the world in recognizing Orphan Sunday. In some places it's called Stand Sunday. Some folks are now calling it Pure Religion Sunday, but it all amounts to the same thing. How do we pause and acknowledge the heartbeat of a father who loves to step into the stories of the most vulnerable folks? And it was beautiful to hear us as a church read Isaiah 58 together. And some of you may know this, some of you may not, but that is one of the most pivotal passages of scripture in the launching of this church. So significant, by the way, that we toyed around with the idea of naming the church something with a 58 in it. I'm not even sure what would have come up with, but man, you can be thankful we didn't do that. But it's not too late. There's still time.
Mission Point's great.
Mission Point is good? Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll keep it that way. But an incredible passage of scripture. And as you read it, I wonder if some of you maybe read it for the first time. And I trust the Spirit of God maybe stirred things in you as we read it. And as you tried to navigate between the cadence of reading out loud and how you were doing with the people around you, we trust that the Spirit was bringing his words to life in meaningful ways. A passage of scripture in which God, by the way, is taking his people to task. His people have been asking him, God, we've been begging you to move. We've been longing to see you break chains in our stories. We've been longing to see you save the people we love. We've been longing to see you set us free from oppression. We've been longing to see you shine light on our land. We've been begging you, God, and you've not been moving. And God takes his church to task. And he tells them, listen, my issue with y'all is not the way you worship on a Sunday morning. Your worship services on Sunday morning are pristine. The music is fantastic. You look amazing. You sound great. Your arms raised are beautiful to me. You're even theologically accurate. That's not the concern. My concern with my people is that you all get to Monday and you act like we didn't have a moment on Sunday. That's my concern. And God is asking his people, the question, what are you doing to step into the stories and meet the needs of the most vulnerable people in your world? What are you doing to meet the needs of the hurting, the hungry, the homeless, the helpless? What are you doing about that? And we knew from the beginning that if as a church we raise our hands in worship on Sunday, but we don't reach those same hands out in mission on Monday, God will take us to task and will constantly be asking the question, why isn't God moving in our families and in our community in the way that we long to see him move? And God would say, it's not what you're doing on Sunday, it's what you're doing on Monday. And so a dream was born at Mission Point, and it was a crazy dream. And the dream was that we would be part of a church in which every single person is doing something to serve the most vulnerable. Every single person is doing something to serve the vulnerable child. And people have asked us, by the way, like, why the focus on vulnerable children? It's not because we believe children are the only vulnerable people, but they are the most vulnerable. So if we're going to start somewhere, we as a church want to start with the most vulnerable, but we hope God gives us an opportunity to interact with the needs of all vulnerable, starting with the most vulnerable. And so welcome to Mission Point Community Church. This is a great Sunday for you to be here. And we are convinced God is going to do something beautiful in your heart and in our church and maybe completely different from anything you walked in. There are some of you, I'm sorry, but I'm so excited. You walked in here believing one thing about what the rest of your life would look like. And you are going to have a moment with the Lord. And we could not be more happy about that. And so that's the church that we want to be. And we also know, by the way, what the final exam is going to be. Jesus literally tells us, on the final day, I will ask you, what did you do to engage the needs of the most vulnerable people in your world? And we want to be able to say, Lord, we pass a test, because whatever we do for the least, we do for you. Whatever we did for the hurting, we did for you. Whatever we did for the broken, we did for you. And so we are thrilled to take a few moments to recognize what this Sunday signifies. Kirsten, you are one of those people who, over the course of your story, have said a pretty major yes to the Lord in joining him for his heartbeat for vulnerable kids. You became a foster mom.
Woo-woo!
Yes. How did that happen? Like, was it God spoke to you in your sleep? Like, you saw something? What was the start of that story for you?
Yeah, I remember in the very early ages of Mission Point, we had a service. We're at the very beginning of the service. We sang, we dove into scripture like we're doing this morning. And then actually there was like an early release in order to go out into the hallways and to hear about different opportunities from different organizations. If you think like science fair or a college fair where all these tables are set up, and everyone was encouraged, go and talk to at least one of those representatives, many which are listed, and we have honored for you here today. But I went over, I was chatting with someone who was representing foster care. And truthfully, I mean, I am very much a skeptical person. I always have a lot of questions before I'm gonna, you know, dive into something, or I'm wondering if it's a good idea. But as they were sharing with me, I honestly was just like, why would I not do that? I started compiling like what I do have, like as a single woman, and I have a house like with several empty rooms. I'm like, well, I have space. I have time and I have energy. I had finances to be able to help and to do that. And so it was, for me, it was more of like a, why not? Why would I not do this? And I was supported by the church. I got the connection and the on-ramp. And over the last 8 years now, I've been fostering. I don't even know if I really knew what foster care was, you know, maybe before that too much. And now taking a deep dive, and it's unleashed something that you're referencing in Isaiah 58. I don't know that I've thought I could experience more community than I already had outside of this. I grew up, both my parents passed away when I was young. I learned to embrace community then. I thought, I was like, I understand it. But then I became a foster parent and I was like, this is community, people who are helping me come alongside in that way, but also just growing in my intimacy with the Lord of like, this is what his scripture says, and it's really hard, but also a great connection with him. So I'm not the only one that was impacted though. I know that this impacted your family and it became, yeah, part of your story. So I'd love for you to share that too.
Yeah, I think there's a part of me that honestly, when Mission Point launched and we longed to see this become a church that served the most vulnerable, I think there's something in me that felt like our work is done. Mm-hmm. We have helped to start something. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome. You know, but man, the Lord stirred something freshly in us. And again, I do have so much respect and admiration for people like you and so many of you out here who will hear the word of God, or you even hear a challenge and you will respond to it. I think I knew what the word of God said about, you know, pure religion. And I knew what the word of God said about the least. And I knew what the word of God said about serving the most vulnerable. And I think my posture was very much like, I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing and I'm available. Feel free to radically interrupt me. And honestly, that's what I did. I think it's like, we're going to keep going in this direction. Lord, feel free to interrupt us at any point. And he felt very free, by the way, to do that. But the reason I respect and admire this so much is because the way the Lord did it in our story was he literally sent a dream. Like somebody had a vivid dream, and in that dream, they saw a little girl, they named the little girl, they told us what the little girl was wearing, they described what my relationship would be with this little girl, and that was what started the journey when we realized he's calling us into adoption. And sometimes people say like, man, that's a pretty cool story. I'm like, yeah, I think he had to do that yeah. because otherwise we would not have just, you know, stepped into the story. But man, the minute we said yes to the first step, he just started knocking doors down. He started knocking walls down. He started providing, because I had a list of like, but we don't have this. We can't do this. Mm-hmm. A pastor's salary. We can't, you know, overcome this. And he just started showing and flexing his generosity and making it so obvious that he was in the midst of that. And so for those of you who know, some of you don't, we, you know, found out who this little girl was in Haiti and found out she had a little sister because, you know, God is tricky like that. And then found out that there was a third sister that and none of them knew the other existed. But that's the adventure, y'all. Like, once you say the first yes, you start to discover sides of God. You're like, I read about this, but I didn't know you
right,
rolled
absolutely.
Like this mm-hmm. until we started stepping in and he just blew our worlds. And truth of the matter is we've experienced some of the most difficult mm-hmm. days and we have seen God move in the most magnificent ways.
Agreed.
Like the miraculous things mm-hmm. God still loves to do today, we only discovered as we started to say yes. So our family was made complete through adoption. And I'm saying complete.
I was gonna say.
I'm saying complete. I claim it in the name.
It counts Sunday, yeah. Simphic Ways.
Kirsten, my kidding. Wife heard that. She's in the room, so watch out. Now, it is interesting, though, that many times when we talk about this, and you hear large numbers, like 150 million orphans in the world, and that feels overwhelming, and we tend to shrink back. Or you hear orphans or vulnerable kids or words like that, and the church tends to immediately think adoption or foster care. And we love breaking that stigma and say, there are so many ways that you can say yes to the invitation of a father to join him in his quest to serve the most vulnerable. Between foster and adoption, there's so many other ways, and so many of you have stepped into those, and so many of you are going to step into some of those. And we look forward to talking about some of the many ways people can do something.
Mm-hmm. As you walked in, we hope that each of you grabs an It Counts response card. This lists different avenues through Mission Point of mm-hmm. how we do this, what this looks like. You'll see some things that are familiar to you, but you also see some things that are happening within the community and other opportunities to meet a very real need for a vulnerable child. So I encourage you to look through that. We're going to enter into some stories here in a few minutes, and you'll start hearing some of these words. But truly, we believe and we are convinced that each of you can find something to do if you haven't Amen. Already. We know that so many yeah. of you are like, you know, there are so many things you've been able to do, and we love that. God may be stirring for something different, but to be prayerful and thinking through that, and we'll reference it a little bit more later in the service. For now, what we're going to do, we're going to watch a video, and then we're going to start sharing some of the best stories I hope that you hear all year long. So mm-hmm. take a look at the video.
Teeter on the brink of entering foster care. And more than 400,000 are in foster care, most of them for preventable reasons. The foster care system impacts more than you can imagine. 50% of homes, 60% of girls and women rescued from sex trafficking raids, and 75% of those incarcerated spend time in foster care. The foster care system is ground zero. The place where our efforts will have the absolute greatest impact on our communities. And here is the good news. So many of you care about these issues. Churches, agencies, and businesses, community leaders all want to help. What we're missing is connection, the chance to collaborate and put our networks and resources together. CareCorps uses technology to make real-time care connections for kids and families in crisis. This platform helps us make the most vulnerable children our priority, which makes them the single most powerful source for uniting and healing our communities as we serve together. Here's how it works. Caseworkers with child-serving agencies encounter needs of children in crisis every day. They enter vetted needs in the care portal, which immediately makes local churches and community members who join the network aware, giving them a real-time opportunity to respond. This platform is designed to equip the local church to be at the point of care for these children and families in need. And it allows for the entire community to work together on any request.
We think Care Portal is awesome. I hope that by the end of this, you think it is awesome as well, as it allows us to not just meet needs, but to meet people while we're meeting their needs. Troy Burns is one of our church responders. That's what we call people who receive the notifications through Care Portal. You guys have been engaged for a while as a family in this tool. I would love to know why you said yes to joining Care Portal.
Well, first of all, I want to give credit where credit is due, because really it's my wife that has really prompted us.
Smart man.
Thank you. there's many times when I might come home from work or something else, and she's like, hey, did you see that I responded? I'm like, okay, got it. So definitely give credit where it's due. But the question of why, Kirsten. We started down a journey of foster care about 7 years ago, and I will admit that I feel like before we did that, we really lived a life that was really naive, honestly, to the hurts and needs and brokenness that really exist right next door and in our community. And our journey through that showed us some of it. It opened our eyes. And now that we're 7 years, later into this, and adopted daughter, and a lot of other interesting things happened along the way, we really wanted to be intentional about finding a way that we could still understand what those needs were, because we just might not know about it, might be ignorant to it. And Care Portal gives us that opportunity. It really shows us that, yes, there are still needs out there that are very practical, but yet critical to those people's situations. And so that's really kind of the why behind it. And it gives us a practical way to turn around and show the love of Jesus in ways that are just often simple, but yet critical.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when a Care Portal responder like Troy or the other 100 of you that are doing this receive a Care Portal request, it's either being written by the schools, by DCS, by someone representing foster families. So that's where they're coming from. I would love if you would share, what types of things do you see on Care Portal?
Yeah, well, I had to write a few of these things down, because over the time we've done it, I've kind of forgotten really what they were. Some of the things are just as simple as newer, gently used clothing in certain sizes, because everybody's different sizes, and we've got to find how to meet those needs. Things just as such as a bed, a mattress. I think one of the situations was a grandparent was taking in, a child, they had a room, but they didn't have a bed, and they needed that to be able to very, very quickly be able to bring that child into their home and provide for their safety. Mm-hmm. When Love Ed started, Lincoln Elementary was trying to fill their closet, we met a few of those needs as well. And I was going through just yesterday, actually, my Amazon list, and I couldn't remember why I had Lincoln Elementary as one of my ship to addresses, and it reminded me that we had helped with that a while back. Food, funds, diapers, you name it, just some of the practical things that are out there that are real needs for people.
Yeah, so whenever you respond to something like that, if it's groceries or a gas gift card, whatever it could be, what the unique thing is that someone from the church has to go and be face-to-face with those families. And we can offer to pray with them, we connect with them, we build a relationship, hoping that it becomes more. It was over a year or so ago, time was weird, I'm not sure how long ago it was, but I remember texting Kondo and saying, have you heard about Care Portal? And he called me and said, but Kirsten, why are you bringing this up? How did you know about it? I already have a meeting scheduled to learn more about it. And we just knew. We sat in that meeting with the leader that you got to see in the video, and we're just like, yes, yes, yes. So it's been huge for us, and how we've been able to live on mission in that way.
Yeah. And incredible. And I know so many of you, like Kirsten said, have stepped into that. And in an era of technology and social media in which people are posting the highlight reels of all of the things that make them cooler than everyone else, like, I do love that there is this platform in which you can communicate some of the ways in which people are struggling and are in need, and people can step in and say, not just like, but we're in. We will step in and be a part of that. I do want to pause and just say this. When we as a church talk about the most vulnerable populations and the needs that different people have, sometimes it can almost come across as very like snooty. Y'all, every single one of us in this room at some point is going to experience vulnerability that will require somebody else to step into it. Or you've already experienced a level of vulnerability and you have a story of a time in which your world came crashing in and you needed somebody who was willing to not just peer in, but to say, we can do that and we can do that and we can step in and we can step. So again, the reality of vulnerability is it affects us all in some way at some point. And man, I love that we all get to be a part of each other's stories in that way. And man, Care Portal responses, I think we've addressed 68 or so needs, which is just, is pretty amazing. Man, in the recent past, we also launched what we refer to as care communities, another very practical way for people to do very practical things to join God in his heartbeat for the vulnerable. And care communities, we called them care crews at one point, is really just a village, a small group of people who says we are committed to wrap around care for this foster family or wrap around care for this primary family, because if we don't step in, this primary family could see their kids go into foster care. Or this foster family, if they're going to sustain their role in serving this kid, they need a village. And so the care community says, we'll be that village. And it's been so amazing to see so many of you become a part of those villages, those care communities. And structurally, the care community is made up of a team leader. And then there are typically four helpers, and then there is a child mentor if the family needs that. And those are the roles that make up a care community: team leader, four helpers, and a child mentor. So, man, I'm sitting here with Tony Miller, and Tony has been a part of and a care community in the recent past, which is super cool. Curious to know why, Tony, you chose to step in that way.
The past year and a half, Condo, the Lord has really made a presence in my life, very noticeable. And I've had to listen to that. And for me, that meant more than coming to church. It meant getting involved. So in looking at the Mission Point programs we had, care communities jumped out at me. I took that training. Very simple, very easy to do, super simple. And that got me involved right there. And it wasn't long after that that I actually got a call to be on a care community's team as a helper.
Yeah.
So I said yes, readily. Like you were saying earlier, the more your faith grows, the more your desire to serve the Lord is. And that's exactly what has happened to me. Yeah. And my particular situation, the foster family I got to serve, is a member of our church family. Made it a little more special. I knew him just a little bit, and here's an opportunity to get to know him a little bit better. Yeah. So that's how I got started.
And you said you serve as one of those helpers. And maybe for those who are saying, what does a helper do? At least maybe let us know from your experience, what does your role as a helper involve?
Okay. As the helper, one of the primary things we do, we're on a meal rotation. We take a meal to the family once a month. So I try to take a healthy but fun to eat meal that they're going to enjoy. I like to garden, so I could take fresh produce from my garden to share. My strawberry preserves I've made, so that made it more special for me. You can make it fun for yourself. If you get in a pinch, it's a busy week, you can buy pizza, okay? There's an easy out for that, so you don't got to stress it. As a team, we all got together and were able to help clean this person's yard up, okay? Make a big impact for them so that they don't have to take the time away from that. They can be a mom or a dad. Very important there. So, and by doing that as a team, you get to meet some more people in the church family and get to know them better. So it's a win-win from that prospect too. The most, well, we also acknowledge them on their birthdays. And Mother's Day, very important to let them know this person was a mother, single person, fostering two boys. We got to acknowledge her on Mother's Day as well, very important. And then the most important thing we do as a team is they're on our daily prayer list.
Wow.
And they're on all the team's prayer list. So they've got that entire team praying for them. That's super powerful, Condo. So that's what you do as a helper.
Ooh.
And they may have different requests, and you just answer those requests. You do what you can.
Yeah. I love that, man. The wrap around with care and then surrounded with prayer. Like, that's pretty amazing. What would you say? I mean, you've obviously hinted at it. I love, by the way, that you had this hobby, green thumbing, which I do not possess that gene at all. That's my wife. But that to see how that hobby then became leveraged to serve a family is pretty beautiful to hear. What would you say, if anything, has been the most meaningful part of your place in the care community?
This has allowed me a chance to serve the Lord and make an impact on a family and children specifically, okay? To pray for them daily, to help meet their needs. I mean, this is very powerful stuff, okay? And it's led me on a path that it got me started, and it led to Care Portal and Love Ed for me. So, like you said, he's tricky. Once you get started, you don't know what you're going to be doing. And this family already came to our church, so they know the Lord.
Yeah.
But this could be an opportunity. Your family may not go to church. Mm. They may not know our Savior. This could be a chance for you to introduce this family to our Savior.
Yeah.
What an impact. Yeah. How powerful is that?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it gives you chances to do things like that. Mm. And that grows you in your faith with the Lord in your walk. So that's what it's done for me. It can do that for everyone.
Woo! Woo! Amen. You can say amen even if somebody's not preaching. I don't know if you knew that. Like, that is, man, that is a thing. Thank you both so much. Again, show some love, everyone, for Tony and Troy. When our church started, we were so excited, so enthusiastic to step into the stories of people in our community. One of the things we did early on was something we called Mission Point Cab Company. We literally became like an Uber service that would go to bars, and we would just drive people home at a time when there was concern about how people were traveling after they had a night out on the town, so to speak. And so that's one of the things that we did, and some pretty amazing stories from stepping into that particular ministry. We don't do that anymore, but say hello to Allie, by the way. She is one of our college students, and man, look forward to hearing some of her story. And part of the reason she's sitting here is because you all, like, you resurrected. It's not quite cab company, but you stepped into a ministry of transportation, and you guys figured out a way to serve kids, families in our community. Talk a little bit about that. That was so creative and amazing to hear.
Yeah, so last year after It Counts Sunday, my friends and I decided to go to a care communities meeting. I actually didn't even sign up to go to the meeting, but luckily one of my friends did, so we got to tag along with her. We knew we wanted to help vulnerable families, but we didn't know how that would work as college students. So we received some training, and then we heard about a family who needed some transportation help. Their first car was broken down, but they needed their second car to get to work each day. And so their older child was having some problems getting to school. We knew that was an opportunity for us to step in, so we wanted to make that happen.
Wow. So what next? What were some of the steps you guys took to make that a reality?
Yeah, so we got connected with the family. We gathered six of us girls, and we coordinated our schedules so that whether we were taking the kid to school or bringing them back home, there was always two of us there to transport them. It only took about 15 minutes of our day, and it was just a great opportunity to start their day off with high energy.
I don't know if we mentioned, between foster care and adoption, there are so many ways that you can step into the story. You said 15 minutes a day. And I promise you, that is going to make an incredible impact in their story. But you guys then got carried away, because once you start, you took maybe a next step and served even some others. What was that like?
Yeah, so we've gotten two more kiddos since then, which is just so sweet. We got a little girl we got to take home from school, and then now we currently help a little boy get home after tutoring. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I love that you're sitting on this stage, because when I was a college student, like a Sunday like this would be like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is what we came to church for. And then I also would have thought a lot about, as Kirsten said earlier, like all of the things like, I don't have this. I can't do this. I'm too busy to do that. I'm not equipped to do this. And so what I would do was kind of believe this lie that one day when I'm older and a fully functioning adult, which is not a thing, by the way, like then I'm going to start partnering with God in his heartbeat to serve the most vulnerable. Like Isaiah 58 is for them, not for me right now. What would you say to fellow college students who may be wondering, like, is this really something I can engage?
College students, I would encourage you to just think creatively. You might not have the financial means, but I'm sure you have time or a talent that would be super beneficial for a vulnerable family. So I just challenge you to get connected with the Mission Point teams. You guys can brainstorm and get connected with a vulnerable family so you can also show and share the love of Jesus in this way.
Allie, everyone, and her team, thank you so much. I'm going to hand it over to Kirsten here in a second, but I do want to say the beauty of sitting up here and hearing some of these stories is the reminder that, listen, we could do this 8 straight days. Mm-hmm. With different ones of you coming up here and telling stories of the ways that you've stepped in. This is just a cross-section of the incredible people who are part of Mission Point. We could tell 1,000 stories, and we're so grateful that we get to hear some of those.
Yeah, the list was long.
Yeah.
And we had to cut them down.
Yeah.
So, so far we've gotten to hear a little bit more about the mechanics of how these things work. And these stories are kind of going to show us full circle of how hope was brought, change was made, and just some really beautiful things that happen when we say yes to the Lord. So I'm going to have Michelle share first. Her and her husband, Kevin, came for their very first time to Mission Point last year during It Counts. That was her first time. And it really impacted her. And I would even love to know from you, like, what kind of stirred in you that day?
Well, it was completely unexpected. It was the very first time I ever walked in here. It was just a visit. And I just started seeing truly the heart of Mission Point. And that just really, it did. It just stirred my spirit. I saw all the things that they were doing. I've never been a part of a church that has such a heart for the vulnerable children. And just, that was impressive to me. And it just wouldn't let up on me. And then right after that, singing the Send Me song, I was a blubbering mess. Mm-hmm. And here I am.
Yeah, she came right up to the mission corner, introduced herself, and truly her and Kevin dove right in. So there were a couple of ways, but one of those was because you're business owners, there was a way that you were able to get involved. Share about that.
Okay, so we do have a garage door company, and so I just knew that I wanted somehow to be able to serve where we could in that respect. And so we had that opportunity to get involved. And the thing that's been the coolest about that is the foster app. So on the foster app, being able to actually serve foster families and help them with their garage repairs or even replace garage doors for them. The funnest, most impactful for me was serving three single women who would not have been able to have the repairs or their doors done. And so that was a delight, really.
Michelle keeps me involved with all of these things. So she'll call me like, we're on our way. We got the foster friendly app notification. And she'll list a city that I've never heard of. I'm like, where is that? So they're traveling, they're investing. And I've told her, this can only be Kosciuszko County. Oh no, it can't be. We want to do more than that. So I love the ways that you guys have been stewarding what you have in this business. Another way that you've engaged is through one of our mission partners. One of our mission partners is The Nest. They seek to support moms. They're usually in at-risk situations, and this is while they're pregnant up until a child is 3 years old. One of the ways that we get to come alongside The Nest is by having mentors come alongside those moms, and you chose to mentor. Tell us about that relationship and what it involved.
Well, it was a really cool experience to be able to be assigned to a mentee who was, yes, in a very vulnerable situation. She needed help. And just growing that relationship with her. And then in this, she actually had two little people in foster care. And those children were in their second home, and it was 2 hours away. It was very difficult to arrange visits and mom to get that time with the children. So the Lord just kept impressing on me, like, I needed to do more. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, we're empty nesters. Woohoo! Life is good. You know, I don't need people in my house. So anyway, long and short, God just didn't let it up. And I had gained some favor and great relationship with the caseworkers. And so I talked to Kevin, and I'm like, babe, we have to do more. And we prayed about it. And so we foster the children now. So it's, yeah.
Did you hear that?
Woo!
And truly, truly, it's amazing, right? Like, you said yes to what? DCS is allowing what? I mean, that's a huge deal. Favor of God in that situation. What have you learned or experienced when it comes to God in this journey?
Well, first off, if you ask him to break your heart for what breaks his, he's going to do it. He's going to shatter it, just warning. But but it's all in such a great way. I mean, we've had the opportunity to love these children, give them an opportunity that they didn't have. I was able to even bring the seven-year-old to, you know, say the prayer and actually come to Jesus. Mm. And her and mama got baptized here a couple weeks ago. So,
woo!
Yeah. So it's exciting. It's exciting. God is good. And what I can say is when I doubt and I'm like, Lord, really, what was I thinking? Are you sure this was what I was supposed to be doing? He reminds me that I'm just a pebble that was dropped in the water and in making a ripple effect. I have to believe that. And that these children are destined for greatness. And we just get the opportunity to shepherd them in this small moment in life. And I believe that they'll go out and do amazing things for Jesus.
Amen.
We believe Michelle. It too.
Amen.
We do.
Amen.
We believe it. Man, I love, and we've seen this in other stories, but I love how it's like you start with one thing and then it's evolved into something else. And so for some people, you know, maybe they'll become a CASA and they'll advocate for a kid to the judge on what is best for them. Maybe they'll work with New Mercies where there are families who are saying, we know that we need help. And they voluntarily allow someone else to care for their child while they get the help that they need before they ever even enter into foster care. And those little pieces just open up to a whole new world of what can be done. Well, I'm here with Amy Holton, who I could shout her praises for different ways, but mostly because she does not have a social work degree, but I feel like her experience in leading some of our care communities earns her one, if I can make that decision. Amy has been serving and helping us launch our care communities ministry, which you've heard about. During her time doing that, it's been like over 8 families that we have been able to serve within that. We've seen some amazing things happen. I would love for you to share about one of our first families and how we came along and how we even got to get to know them and to serve them.
So about 2 years ago, it was connected with the schools in one of our Love Ed, Love Ops, which is amazing just to see how the Lord orchestrates
truly
everything together. And some volunteers from the church were getting involved through school and also through preparing homes for winter, just meeting really practical needs. And one family just stuck out. They started building really close relationships with this family. And it was through them that we realized that they would love some wraparound support. They would welcome that. And those volunteers then very quickly said yes. They were the first team members for that family. And we were able to rally the rest of the team really quickly and jump on in.
And this was a large team. It was a lot of people to coordinate, but it was a joy to see the people who said yes and to supporting the kids. Especially the child mentor position is so fun, right? You're just an extra healthy adult building a relationship. And one of those child mentors, you know, found out that one of the kids really wanted to join an after school activity. And that was going to be tricky based on a couple of things happening with the family. And they said, no problem. We'll take care of that. So over the course of time, you know, helping them get to that activity, hanging out with them like for fun Saturdays and connecting, that relationship grew quite a bit. And unfortunately in this family, some different things happened where actually the kids needed to be in different homes. And so this child mentor has been able to be a caregiver for one of those kids and love on them and connect with them. That's not always what happens, but it is something that can happen. And it's been very beautiful to see some of that. I would love to know for you, when you look at this and see some of the amazing things that have happened since then, what has God done?
The list is very, very long. It's been beautiful to see the care community really focus in and serve the Lord creatively, whether that be tutoring or running errands or taking the kids to different activities, or they're going on a road trip and they need some activities for the car. There are just so many ways that they've served so faithfully and so eagerly. And then also for the supported families who are so brave and humble to welcome people into their life. We've been able to see them join church family, to join small groups for the adults, for the kids to join youth group. We've seen the kids give their lives to the Lord and be baptized. And the list just goes on and on of how the Lord is working.
We had our baptism Sunday a couple weeks ago, and it's interesting to think, and all the stories represented from all four of us, there are kids that have been baptized who have come to know Jesus and want to follow him because God is allowing us to make a difference. Because we said yes to something, no matter what it might be. And so these stories are beautiful and they are God's. And we know many of you are putting together and a part of some really beautiful stories, and you will continue, or maybe you'll start in some new ways being a part of those stories.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Church, this is Isaiah 58. In very practical ways. And I promise you, what will matter at the end of our stories is not that we went to church, but that we were the church who went to church, right? I mean, and this is it. The enemy would want us to believe, like, I cannot do it. It's too overwhelming. It's too daunting. And we have these really lofty views of what it looks like to step into the stories of vulnerable families, vulnerable kids. But I love how simple it's been made. And I just got to pause and praise the Lord that, man, we are living in the dream. Mm-hmm. What we longed to see is happening, and not, like you said, because we stepped in and we said, you know what we should do? We should serve some people and see them baptized. And then it occurred to me what the Lord said in Isaiah 58. I'm calling you to do something. You have prayed for revival, and you think it's going to happen in some big meetings and some church services. And it's like, no, as you step into the stores, the most vulnerable, I can think of very few stories in which we've stepped in and it didn't result in somebody coming to Christ and being baptized.
Absolutely.
And it's like, what? So revival is going to happen like that? Mm-hmm. Like through these simple steps? And so we want to invite you to be a part of what it looks like to live this yes. And so again, you receive the card on your way in. As we sing this next song, we'd invite you to just take some time to just prayerfully consider what your next step might be. Listen, don't try and tackle the 50 million steps that it will take to just what's the next yes for you. What's the next yes? And we believe whatever that is, it counts in the stories of vulnerable kids. So there's a variety of different ways, whether it's a care portal you heard about or a foster closet, which is crazy that you can ravage your own closet, or you can help supply clothing for kids so that they go through the winter a little warmer, and that counts. Man, business owners, like Michelle talked about, some of you have resources, and you may say, we have this business. I don't even know how we can leverage this, but we want to have conversations. We would love to have conversations with you to help your business maybe meet a need in our community. And, you know, care communities, you can serve just as Tony did. Love Ed, you heard Amy mention that. We have some of our mission partners and CASA, DCS. You can provide transportation. Listen, y'all, if you can drive, if you have a green thumb, if you own a business, if you can pray, you can do something, and your something counts.